Welcome, everyone, once again to another episode of the NOC.
The Knock.
The Nerd Out cast. Never gets old. So, what's the date, real quick, before we go too far?
Coming to April.
April.
Live April 5th.
Thursday
night.
Live to us. It won't be live to you.
Nope. You'll get it sometime this weekend.
Here in during the sprinter season.
Sprinter season?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Spring and winter.
Oh. Sprinter.
Right now. Right now in southern Indiana, we have mostly rain.
And calling for a little bit of snow.
A little bit of snow, seriously?
Tomorrow night.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, that's southern Indiana.
Yep. I think we've had every season this past week.
I think we did. Wait, didn't we have 60-some degree weather? And then it was like 30 the next day.
Then ice.
It was like 70-some.
Did it hit 70s?
Yeah.
It was pretty close to 70.
My goodness.
It felt really good for a moment.
It did.
For one day.
For one day? Hey, and it happens every year, and it seems like we're always shocked.
That's my ideal temperature is in the 70s. Sunny in the 70s with a little bit of breeze. That's my ideal.
Low humidity.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully this kills the mosquitoes, though. Hopefully we don't have very many mosquitoes.
Well, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
You know,
were they bad last year? I don't remember.
They weren't too bad.
Yeah, you definitely got to have a cold winter to get rid of certain things.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's run around the table real quick.
Hey, wait.
Okay.
I just was saying anyway.
Let's run around the table, see who we got.
Turn around the table.
Run around the table.
Run around the table.
Let's run around the table.
Run.
Run. Run to my right.
I didn't sign up for this.
Yep. Run. Go. Chinese fire drill.
Chinese fire drill.
To my right, we have
Scaff, the ginger.
Chinese fire drill.
The artist.
Yeah. What's?
He's the artist.
The artist.
We have. Actually, it's not true because he's been here before, just not on this podcast.
It's been a few years.
That's true.
He graced us with his presence.
By popular demand, he's back.
Yeah, and the fact that Rick's not here. but those two things combined. So what do we
Captain Jason.
No.
That's too much like Captain Underpants.
Yeah, it does.
Well, you said those powers combined comes Captain Planet. You know, Captain Planet.
Oh, okay.
With our powers combined.
Well, see, Jason can't he can't come up with his own.
I called him the artist.
The artist?
Yeah.
The artist formerly known as Jason?
He can do art. He can art.
Yeah.
Oh, he can
that's
art.
True.
It.
He can art.
I mingle with celebrities.
You?
Yeah, that's right.
I did.
Oh man,
shook the hand of Samwise.
So we call you what? Artist art stalker?
The stalker.
The stalker.
Ooh,
I actually like
that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You okay with that?
I'm fine with that.
Okay, stalker.
There it is. Stalker.
All right, so to my left we have
the stalker.
Bam.
I like it. Yeah, filling in for a vacant seat of Rick. We got rid of
Trash
him.
Man.
Yeah, we decided to
kick him out.
Yeah, kick him up. We wanted to upgrade actually.
Yeah,
so
I've been meaning to get the stalker in here at some point in time because the stalker has some great nerd knowledge. He can
True.
He can throw down this mug.
He fits in quite well. Actually, better than some of us.
And I have a 7-year-old son who is turning into a big nerd too.
Nice.
Bringing him up right.
Yep.
So. Yep. I feel miserable in all three of my daughters.
I don't think you
No,
have.
Presley is pretty nerdy.
I was
going
to say.
She's a wannabe nerd. I don't think deep down she is, but she's a wannabe.
Yeah, yeah.
She'll probably grow out of it, you think?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like my oldest did that. She was kind of nerdy for a while, but then she has to be in the crowd, and then now dad's not cool. But anyway.
I've tried to raise my kids on the idea that the nerds rule the world.
That's true.
It's kind of true.
It's not kind of, it is.
That's okay to be a nerd, because eventually you'll run your own company and hire and fire. But.
And launch your own Tesla Roadster into space.
But they haven't got that yet. So.
That's true. I don't know. You think he was a nerd in high school?
Oh, yeah.
Elon was
he was totally a nerd.
He wasn't nerd. You don't think he was a football player?
He co-founded PayPal.
He did?
Yes.
He was in, like, the game board club in high school.
Oh, man.
Did you see his brother opened up a restaurant in Indianapolis?
Oh, really?
His brother?
Yeah.
Really?
Carl? Carl Musk?
Eddie.
Eddie.
I can't remember the name, but they just opened it like last week.
Man, I want to go.
I do too.
Ooh, some of us will be in Indy Sunday night. We have to try to find it.
Bam!
It is called, not sponsored, not a sponsor of the show, but Hedgerow Restaurant.
His name is Kimball. Kimball Musk.
Kimball Musk.
That doesn't sound like it fits together. No. Kimball? Kimball?
K-I-M-B-A-L.
Kimball. That's different. Like,
yeah, it is.
Like from...
so is Elon.
Yeah. Those are good strong American names
yeah.
here.
Yep.
All right. We'll have to... I wonder if his restaurant is like... Is it fancy? Is it like a 5-star type?
They're taking reservations.
So. Ooh.
Oh.
You're probably not going to get fries there, are you?
We're probably not going probably there. Probably not.
All right.
Probably some kind of kale vegan.
Yeah.
Concoction.
Hey, and Shantek. Glad everybody can tune in. I kind of got lost on where we're at. Glad you tune in. Here we go. So like we said, Rick's gone. We got the stalker here, and we are going to go through like we normally do.
Let's do it.
So, just through the week, guys, what have we done this week? What anything stand out?
No.
Which I know the stalker's got some cool stories from. What did you last weekend? You and your boy.
Me and the boy went to the Comic Con in Indy.
Comic Con.
I just sit out this one.
Did you see anybody worth noting?
I did actually.
Worth noting.
Yeah, shook his hand and everything. Mr. Sean Astin.
Man, the legend. Rudy. Legend of nerddom.
He was a cool guy. There was a bunch of people standing there waiting in line to see him. He popped out of the curtain and said, "Hey, guys." And then, "Whoa, there's a lot of people here." He said, if we all work together, we can get through this pretty quick. And back in the curtain he went and in and out. It's like clockwork. Got a good picture with him and shook
his
hand.
That picture is awesome.
I saw the picture. He's so animated. Good. I mean, it's not like he was just sitting there in a chair, just
not like Val Kilmer.
Not like Val.
Yeah,
yeah. He looked like he was. You even had your arm on his shoulder, didn't?
No.
Or was that CGI? It looked like maybe no. Okay.
He just sat there basically.
Wait, Sean Astin?
No, Val Kilmer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he
Val.
Looked,
oh,
he
I
looked
to put
like
a
wax.
Mirror under his nose to make sure he was breathing.
Yeah, he looked like a wax statue.
Yeah, he did in that picture. Yeah,
because he was Val Kilmer. He was Batman, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. I mean, it don't matter. He could have been a wax statue, and it would have been cool anyway.
Yeah. So. But, yeah, Sean Astin looked like he was right in there with you and your boy, kind of like.
Yeah, he was all up in it.
Who doesn't love Sean?
Man's great.
I mean, really.
Yep. Samwise.
Samwise, Goonies, Rudy,
Bob,
and now gosh.
You know, the younger generation, kind of like my girls and probably your girls, it's like when they saw that picture, you, they're like, "Hey, it's Bob." And I'm sitting there thinking, like,
"Oh, you have no
Bob.
Idea."
I was thinking Samwise.
Well, yeah, Samwise.
You got to go back to like what, and then you'll really far back, and then he's Rudy. But anyway, he's had some, my goodness, memorable, real the Goonies. I always forget that was kind of his start, really.
Started with tons of people's.
Yeah.
Careers.
What a good movie. Which, by the way, I didn't get it done, but I really wanted to do top 5 Spielberg movies for tonight.
Yes.
In memory of.
I thought about doing that.
Not memory, but because of Ready Player One.
Let's do it next week.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
He deserves his own top 5.
Yeah. And, I mean, and that would be difficult. My goodness, you'd think of some of the movies that guy's done. Anyway.
I know what yours will be. There would be one of
yours. No, I wouldn't do that.
I guarantee it. You cannot put that in your...
No, because...
I know two of your top 5
movies have
right got to
be fun. So, I mean, I at the end of the day, I want to enjoy what I'm watching. And even though I love that movie, it's not enjoyable.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I've been... I know this is off topic, but so what, right?
Yeah.
This year, as I watch movies in 2018, I've been putting them on a list. So by the end of the year, I already know, you know, where they rank based off of a fresh... And I added a couple of them tonight on my list. And that's the thing. A lot of the movies I've seen, I've not really had a great time at. Even the ones that I would consider good, they've not been, like, fun.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Ready Player One was about probably the most fun for me so far. But still, that it didn't reach, like, what's some of the ones that I walked out of that I thought, man, alive, that's, like, the funnest movie I've seen in a long time. You know, or the most...
Greatest Showman.
Yeah, that or... Or I remember this time last year I watched
What's the M. Night Shyamalan movie that, came out? I mean, it wasn't it wasn't really a fun movie. I mean, like, fun topic, but I walked out, like, that's a tremendously satisfying movie.
Yeah.
I've not seen one yet that kind of rises up to that, you know, for me.
But. Yeah, because you can watch certain movies that, like, the story will be good, character development's good, whatever. But, I mean, it's not like, I don't know, like, maybe classified as Fast and Furious, where they're silly, but they're just a lot of fun to watch. Heck, I could even say the same thing about The Last Jedi. I mean, Last Jedi wasn't like just a fun-filled ride from start to finish. I mean, it had you had your peaks and valleys. Yeah. You had awesome, couple really, really awesome scenes in there, and then some stuff that left you scratching your head. But I mean, maybe that's just me. But yeah, I get what you're saying. I'm ready for a fun
movie. It's been hard. Yeah, I'm too. I'm looking forward to that first one that's going to, you know, that I walk out thinking, man, alive, that was.
Hopefully it's Avengers.
If it's not, I'm not going to watch a movie the rest of the year.
And that's what, four? Just three more weeks. Fridays?
Three
more Fridays away? Something like that?
And it's projected to over $200 million.
I bet it'll do it. It's got so much hype right now. My goodness.
Yeah.
So.
And we saw Ready Player One.
Yeah, let's talk about that briefly. I mean, has everybody here read the book?
I have.
Yes.
Jason, you read the book?
I have not.
I have not either. So we're the illiterate ones. We haven't read it.
I'm not much of a reader.
Me either.
You can listen.
I can listen. Are you gonna get me that? You said you were gonna get it for me.
Yeah.
He's gonna do it right now.
He's gonna do it right now.
I'll go ahead and start talking.
Yeah. All right. I'll start listening before this is over. So a few of us went and saw it. Those of you guys talk about it because you guys have read the book. I mean, obviously.
Well, I think. After talking with some people who watch as well, I kind of see a difference in what people think if they've read the book or not.
Yeah.
To me, it was a good movie. But I had a hard time separating it from all of my favorite parts of the book. So as I'm watching the movie, I'm thinking, man, you know, why is that in here? You know,
yeah.
You know, why, you know, that this was my favorite part. Some really cool stuff. I mean, of course, it's Spielberg, so he made, right. I mean, you know, are we going spoilers? Or Jason hasn't seen it, but
Jason has seen
it.
Go
ahead.
Okay.
I'm okay with spoilers.
Okay. The whole Shining part I thought was really, really cool.
Oh, so cool.
But not in the book, right?
Not
in the book.
Okay.
There's other movies that would work, which I was kind of hoping. I mean, I don't see why they couldn't have used a couple of those.
I'm wondering if the execution would have been hard to do.
Yeah. Like Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
That would have been fun right in the middle. I mean, wouldn't it be fun?
Basically, what happens in the book is the game that he has to play is he has to reenact everything from Ferris Bueller.
The whole movie?
The entire movie.
Wow.
And he has to do it exactly perfect.
And that's the level of 80s nerddom that all these guys have. Way more than even what the movie puts into it.
Well, yeah, so you couldn't do that.
You have to do it by memory.
Yeah. Hmm. Like... Or what I would have done, because I'm a professional.
Professional.
I would have done a movie like that. And at least, I mean, I think there's two or three key scenes.
Done it like a snippet or something.
Yeah, of him doing the movie. You know, at least you know beginning, middle, end. And
the doorways were different too.
Yeah.
The way that they did the keys was different.
Oh, yeah.
But. Other than that,
yeah.
I mean, most people who don't read the book, they're going and have a fun time. And I'm not saying that it wasn't horrible.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a good movie.
What's okay with me though is that Ernest Cline signed off on everything that they did. Yeah. So he's the guy who wrote the book and he helped write the script. So
yeah, I talked to a guy at work and he said his biggest gripe is that they didn't use the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory song that they used in the...
I thought for sure it was going to be in there.
That was awesome. In the preview, the way they did that, come with me.
Yeah.
And it's like, he wanted to hear it either at the beginning or the end or have him work it in there somewhere. He said it wasn't in the movie at all.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear it.
And he was a big fan of the book, but he liked the movie. So far, I don't think I've talked to anybody that has read the book that hates the movie. They kind of said what you just said. Obviously, it's not going to be.
It's not going to be.
You know, frame for frame, I can't do
none
it.
None of them are.
coming from somebody that didn't read the book, me, I mean, I thought the movie was okay. I fell asleep twice. There's a couple things that don't make sense right now, but I'll figure it out later. It's good. It's good.
It was right. Good. I liked it.
All right. Let's, we do anything else? We're good?
News.
No, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go.
Let's go see
it. Certified fresh news.
That's weird.
Okay, there we go. Or do you have those? Can you insert those?
I don't have them.
Gosh, why doesn't he? But you can insert it later.
Yeah.
Okay.
This way.
Is that too much editing, or do you do that anyway?
I can probably do it.
I think what you did was fine.
But I like it.
Probably is not.
I liked it.
Yeah. All right, so that means we actually start with the stalker here.
All right.
Do you have anything you want to
give me news?
It's got to be certified.
Fresh.
Fresh news.
Not necessarily.
You put me on the spot.
Ours won't be fresh.
No.
No, it's not going to be fresh. Mine is.
It's pretty much just the first thing that you know, find on the phone.
First things. Rev, would you like to go?
Yeah.
Well, I get something.
I'll go. I have a few here that I stumbled across last. Again, there's been a bunch of news, but I'm just going to.
Yeah.
I kind of let myself just what I found. There's four or five sites that I go to every day. Found this on Dark Horizons, if it'll load on my iPad. The Lord of the Rings series to run 5 seasons.
That was one of mine.
Yeah.
So.
Jeff Bezos will still be, he could still produce
yeah,
it.
He could still, yeah.
And be the richest man in the world.
Again, Amazon Studios beat out Netflix for a whopping $250 million for the rights.
Man.
With the Tolkien estate, and now THR has some more details about said deal, indicating that the commitment includes no less than, so it has to be 5 seasons, no less than, as opposed to the standard of 1 or 2 seasons. With the cost, casting, production, I think we talked about this, a billion less, you know, at no less than $1 billion.
Is yeah. Good.
So there's also another factor in play here. They cannot hesitate. So part of the deal is that Amazon has guaranteed they'll begin a production on the series within 2 years. They can't wait. Has to happen.
Man.
They can't put it off. And filmmaker Peter Jackson isn't involved at this point. But there's nothing stopping him from being either.
Wait.
And his lawyer has indicated that he has already had a dialogue with Amazon. So just so you know.
Hey, even if he's like
executive. He wants to jump in it, he can.
Even if he's like executive producer or something, I'd be okay with that. Or supervising director.
I'm going to go ahead and then read this, and it goes along with it. Off Screen Rant, as of, this is a couple hours ago, says May. Peter Jackson may produce Amazon's Lord of the Rings TV series. So this was 6 hours ago. I mean, so nothing's official there. So it's kind of like what you just said, May. But at least it's on here.
That's only going to help, I think. Even by his name alone, it's only going to help.
I mean, so TV show suggests that Peter Jackson could be involved as a series may cost $1 billion. Yes, blah, blah, blah. Everything that you just said. So, his name's being thrown around.
Yeah.
It definitely can't hurt things, right?
No.
I mean,
No.
The man knows his.
He knows that world. Even, I have some arguments with him with his Hobbit trilogy.
We could talk about The Hobbit.
Yeah.
But this is going
to
be.
But not to say that they're bad, but, you know.
No. I think, too, though, there was a lot of suits behind that one.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted
a trilogy.
Yeah. So this is fresh. I mean, this is
fresh stuff, I think.
This is the Tolkien world, but made up by good people.
I can't wait.
Imagination,
the more I read about it, I will 100% watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's
another one here is, and I think I posted this on our group me, but there was a tease by screenwriter Gary Whitta. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Has gone into detail about just what he was teasing with his social media post, which included concept art depicting iconic ships from the original Last Starfighter.
Oh.
Yes. So, there's more details on this proposed reboot. What in the world just happened here? Okay, here we go. More details. So, speaking with IO9, Whitta has confirmed that, yes, it is indeed a reboot of the classic 1984 sci-fi film, which is one of my favorite 80s, mid-80s. There was a run there, you know, like 82 to 87, where there was a bunch of sci-fi movies that were awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
Like a bunch of guilty pleasures that I love very dearly. This being one of them. What's cool about this is he is working with the original film's writer, because the original film's writer still has partial ownership of the IP. And so they are working on it together. And so this is what Gary says. He says, after I was done pestering him, that was the writer of the original, with all my fanboy questions about the original film, we started to talk about what a new version might look like. Since then, we've spent so many hours working on it, I've long since lost count. But right now, we have a fully developed story that is a combination of reboot and sequel that we both think honors the legacy of the original film while passing the torch to a new generation. We're both very excited. It's a passion project of ours. And I know we have a great movie here, but we still need to deal with the remaining biz stuff before we can really move forward. But if you've seen any of the artwork, if you hit the link on that.
I saw one.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is one of those. I love the original, but just for the CGI part of it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if they can kind of reboot, but yet it be a sequel and still, you know, don't pull a new Ghostbusters on us, but pay homage to the original and be respectful of it and treat it like the cult classic that is, but yet move it forward. I mean, I'm all. And I think a movie like this is going to happen because of a movie like Ready Player One and Jumanji.
Yeah.
Because they're both.
And Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
I mean, you got something like
they're
that.
All, like, you know, especially Ready Player One and Jumanji, they're all, you know, based around going inside a video game or being recruited by the video game. If you watch the original, the main actor played this game, and that's how he was recruited.
And what 12-year-old boy, that's not like your absolute dream.
Yeah.
Like, to be recruited because you're so good at playing a video game to go, like, defend you know, some civilization on another planet.
Conan Armada.
Yes. I mean, every kid
Jason,
wants to
was
do
that one of your faves, too? I mean, did you watch that one?
I did.
Or did you like it, or is it not one of your... It's one of my guilty pleasures. I have it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very guilty. There's parts of it that are awfully good. And So again, I'm all for it.
Yep.
I would love to see it. So I always throw an Avengers Infinity War on here because I absolutely cannot wait for this movie. So I came across a little bit of information from the co-directors, the Russo brothers. Is anybody going over the reactions?
I've got
okay. That. So this is going into a
unless
bit,
you want to do it.
No. This is going into Thanos' backstory, and they talk a little bit about Hawkeye's top secret role because you know all the Hawkeye fans wonder
why he's not showing up.
Yeah. So they go into it. Basically what they say about Thanos' backstory is they say we were considering showing his backstory, but ultimately felt it wasn't necessary for the movie. So, although the movie is from his point of view, it's not going to be a lot of going backward. So, it'll be some assuming.
Scene from the trailer going to be out of there?
I don't know. Maybe it will be like a little bit, but they won't. You know, it won't be a plot point or all the way through. So, in addition to that, the Russo brothers briefly talked about one of the film's heroes that hasn't been getting a lot of attention, Hawkeye, and this is what they said. They said, all will be explained when people see the movie. It's all tied into the story. So there's a reason why he's not being shown, because if he's shown, spoiler.
Yeah.
So, don't worry, you Hawkeye fans out there.
I mean, you can't know everything.
No.
Are we just so spoiled to the point, it's like we need to know like where everybody's at, what they're doing,
no,
what
I mean,
clothes they're going to wear.
Wait.
At
this
stage, it's only a few weeks away.
I'm so glad that we have no idea. I mean,
I know.
We have some idea, but we really don't have any idea what's going to happen, and I'm thoroughly going to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget how they use misdirection. So
yes,
some things
they're very good at it.
We might know, maybe just their way of you know pulling the rug out from underneath us.
All right,
which I love that too.
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right, I'm going to piggyback off of that with comicbook.com. Let's see here, Avengers: Infinity War first reactions released. So, Marvel Studios is showing the first 30 minutes of Avengers Infinity War to fans and press over the next few weeks.
Really?
One of which occurred in London today. Not much plot-wise was revealed in the initial footage, but the most immediate takeaway seems to be how funny it is. So this comes from Digital Spy Film. They tweeted out, "We've just seen 30 minutes of Avengers Infinity War. Can't say too much, but it's very ambitious. It'll switch tones between different groups. The Guardians sequence had a very different look, feel, and soundtrack to the New York scenes. And it's going to be funny. Still no Hawkeye." So that's the only reaction that I've seen so far.
You know what? I love the thought of when they have these groups together, that they take that particular tone. And I think somewhere I read, too, the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Guardians are on the screen, it's going to seem like a James Gunn movie.
Yeah.
And when Thor's on the screen, it's going to seem like a Taika movie. I mean, I never thought that they would even think...
I didn't either.
...to do something like that. And so when Cap is in there, it's going to be more serious, like a Russo brothers. I'm like, that... I don't know. I don't know how it'll work, but just the idea of it makes it cool for me.
Yeah.
And you never know, maybe the Iron Man stuff is Favreau. You know, you know, I mean,
it would be kind of cool if each of the directors had a little part in their different.
They could direct their
sections,
their team,
so to speak. It's a neat way to do it.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
and it's cool. It's a cool way to bring everything together.
Yeah.
This comes from Forbes.com. MoviePass. Anybody here MoviePass? Have you got MoviePass?
I have not
here?
Got MoviePass.
MoviePass acquires MoviePhone in deal with Verizon's Oath worth up to $23 million.
What is that?
How can they buy anything? I'm still trying to figure this out.
The parent company for MoviePass is Helios and Matheson Analytics, announced an acquisition of MoviePhone from Verizon's Oath subsidiary. The deal, representative of a substantial decline in MoviePhone's value, is worth upwards of $23 million.
This is a front.
Helios and Matheson said the acquisition is the next major step in building out its content marketing strategy and advertising revenue platform for MoviePass, which sells a monthly subscription price of just $9.95 to attend one movie screening in participating theaters per day. With its sizable audience of 6 million monthly unique visitors, MoviePhone is likely to draw additional MoviePass subscriptions.
So that's the key phrase there. They have to be a lot like Netflix, which is, of course, we're going to make it by our subscribers, so let's do whatever we can to bring it up.
And since it's an analytics company, they're selling...
Yeah.
Stuff.
I mean, I'm not complaining.
No.
No.
But still.
Nope, not yet at least.
Now, did you get that one email that with the one participating theater?
Wasn't it like an apology email or something?
Well, no, this one that I got said this one theater chain now does advanced tickets. So
you
don't have to show up.
Yeah, I did see that.
Hopefully that spreads to more stuff.
I hope it does too. I think it will.
So you can, like, be at home and do it and print it off.
Some of them already do it, but there's, like, I'd like to see Regal participate, AMC participate.
Because that's where you've ran into a couple issues with cell phone signal being kind of not great. Then you kind of have issues trying to get your ticket downloaded.
I'd say when Regal and AMC sees their sales, their ticket sales go down, they're going to probably jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah,
I'd say.
I mean,
Because it's only gonna. I mean, as much as people eat movies, I mean, you know, digest them. The idea of movie pass. I mean, everybody that I've ever mentioned it to,
they don't believe it.
No, and they're like, "Are you serious?" Like my brother, when you guys, or I don't know if it was you or one of you guys said, "Hey, you're here." Or have you done movie pass yet? Well, what is it? I'm like, are you kidding me? And I told my brother, and like 5 seconds later, all right, got it. You know, done.
Has he been using it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, it doesn't make sense, although I love it, but it doesn't make sense. No. But for a moviegoer, they're like, man, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. This comes from HollywoodReporter.com. Tony Gilroy, who came in and directed the reshoots for Rogue One, he said they were in terrible trouble. He was in an interview. The screenwriter who salvaged the Star Wars project says the situation was so dire, all you could do was improve their position. Tony Gilroy is getting candid for the first time about his emergency trip to the Star Wars galaxy. In June 2016, Lucasfilm hired the Oscar-nominated writer to rework Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, after the studio was unsatisfied by the state of director Gareth Edwards' movie. By August, he was taking a leading role in post-production and oversaw reshoots to fix a few issues, including the film's ending. Gilroy ultimately was paid millions for his work, and many consider him the film's ghost director. Gilroy had not spoken publicly about Rogue One until Monday's appearance on The Moment with Brian Koppelman podcast, where he noted that he immediately saw ways to improve the movie when he came on the scene in London. He said, quote, "If you look at Rogue, all the difficulty with Rogue, all the confusion of it, and all the mess, and in the end, when you get in there, it's actually very, very simple to solve. Because you sort of go, this is a movie where folks just look. Everyone is going to die. So it's a movie about sacrifice." A lot of his quotes are, like, really broken up. He said, "I came in after the director's cut. I have a screenplay credit in the arbitration that was easily won." He said, "I've never been interested in Star Wars ever. So I had no reverence for it whatsoever. I was unafraid about that. And they were in such a swamp. They were in so much terrible, terrible trouble that all you could do was improve their position." So, yeah.
So it was a mess.
Sounds like it was a major mess.
Why would they reach out to somebody that has no history in Star Wars to come in and
Well, he's a major Hollywood.
Yeah, and he, like, had done
he does that's his thing, kind of, is
and
that
he had done and, Godzilla for Gareth Edwards, yeah, as well. Yeah. He came in at some point during that and helped out.
Yeah, he comes in and fixes
stories
and stuff. Yeah.
Tries to
make he's a good director. He's done good movies too. I mean, just don't want, you know, all by himself, but
yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it was.
Like to know, like they didn't include a lot of that with that in the behind the scenes,
which gives you hope actually, for Solo.
Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to Solo.
I know. The more I see it, the more I'm like, okay,
I read somewhere that said that once Ron Howard showed up, like, everything was calm and whatnot on
set.
Well,
he knows how to make a movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there are people that don't like him, but I'm a fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's Opie. How can you not?
I know. I mean, dude, he did Cocoon. He knows sci-fi.
He did.
I know. See? Yeah. You guys.
Forget about that.
You guys don't know the depth of mine.
You done, Scal?
That's all I got. Yep.
You want to go? Stalker?
Well, I don't know if this has been discussed, but I'm going to talk about it.
Let's
this
do
is
it.
Off a Screen Rant, an article on recasting the X-Men for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay. All of them?
All of them.
Ooh, wow.
Of course, we all know that Disney is trying to acquire 20th Century Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Says a sales ship that should be complete in 2019.
I can't wait for that headline.
if the sale goes through, that means the X-Men and the Fantastic Four will join the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
But are they going to recast anybody? Here's a few names that have kind of popped up as possibilities. Professor X. Here's a name of Ray Fiennes.
Oh, really?
I think he would be an excellent.
He could.
Charles
Xavier.
That,
with or without.
That would bring some weight.
We all know he can play a bald guy.
Yeah.
He's a good actor too.
Yeah, he is.
My gosh, he's fantastic.
Jason Isaacs as Magneto.
Ooh.
Okay.
Who's that?
Yeah, I like that. Jason Malfoy.
Isaacs. Yeah.
Oh.
So.
The older
taking
Malfoy.
Harry Potter. Taking
Harry. Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
He's a good actor, though.
Yeah, he is.
Daniel's going to be.
Daniel is.
Be
It could be Toad, I guess. Toad.
There we go.
Scott Kahn as Wolverine.
Don't know him.
Yeah,
he's
you
on Hawaii 5-0.
You know him. Yeah.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He kind of looks like him already.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
I would prefer to see Scott Eastwood in that role.
I think he has more of a future than Scott Kahn, but... They need to get somebody...
Somebody that can be brutal, just
on the cusp of making it, or that wants to make it, like you did.
Name Suarez Ronan as Jean Grey.
Yeah, okay.
Not a terrible choice, but I could see it. Let's see who else. Toby Kebbell as Beast. I don't see this one. I didn't like Doctor Doom. I thought, actually, the whole movie Fantastic Four was
ridiculous.
Kind of bad. Max Moff as Nightcrawler. I've not seen too much on him. He was in Sense 8
and
Bridge of Spies.
What's that?
Moff.
Moff.
Grand Moff.
He's kind of
Grand Moff Tarkin.
He's kind of got the.
Okay, I can definitely see that. Then. Yeah.
I think it'd be.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'd be good.
Seen his picture for sure.
And well, of course, they still got Channing Tatum as Gambit.
No, please, I don't. I mean, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Man. I liked the guy who played Gambit in
Taylor Kitsch.
Yeah, I liked him.
Now they've got here Stephen Lang as Cable. We've not seen Josh Brolin yet.
That needs to happen.
But I would prefer.
He basically played Cable in Avatar.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
And then recasting Mystique with Evan Rachel Wood. She was. She's in Westworld on HBO.
Oh, I've seen that.
But I. There are some good names in there.
Yeah.
I think it could work.
It could work. And my opinion is that they will. Even Wolverine recast it, because Feige's not going to...
Well, did you see that they delayed the Dark Phoenix movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Feige's not going to lose his... I mean, we love Hugh Jackman. Fantastic. But Feige's not going to not do... Wolverine, just because. I mean, he's
probably going to say Hugh.
I guarantee he already has his.
Do you want this?
If you don't want it. I have this guy in mind. Can we get your A-OK on it?
Another article off of Screen Rant. John Krasinski wants to play Mr. Fantastic.
Yes, him and Emily Blunt.
Yes,
he looks the part.
Yes, he does.
Gray in his hair.
Have you seen the picture?
Yes, I saw the picture and it's like, yep, I'm sold.
Oh yeah, but both of them really. I mean, to be honest with you, both of them would be great.
Wait, and Emily Blunt?
Yeah, man.
Have you seen her? Storm.
I guess I haven't seen
a picture of her as well.
And he wants it too, right? I mean, yes. That's what it says.
That's kind of what she would look like. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he's mentioned a name for Ben Grimm, but I cannot remember who it was.
John did?
Yes.
Huh. So he's thinking about it.
He's.
Let him make the movie.
Well, he. Yeah. Well, I mean, he was almost Captain America.
And when that was mentioned, I didn't see it until I saw him in. What's that one war movie he's in?
13 Hours?
Yes. Once I saw that war movie, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
He could do some stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he can totally pull off Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, he can.
I wish I could find who he wants for Ben Grimm.
Who would be?
Oh, please have that conversation. To me, that's like when they cast Benedict as Doctor Strange. I wanted that one so bad.
Yeah.
And when they did, I'm like, yes, finally, I get a dream cast. And this is like that, too. I'm like, that would be perfect. Oh, it'd be perfect.
Bringing him in. Well, him and and that's Emily Blunt. They're in this movie, the new movie that's coming out. They're husband and wife, and so I mean, it's kind of cool that they kind of confine projects where they work together. You see where Krasinski was on a Jimmy Kimmel the other night, and he was talking about how he was He's like, "What have you been up to?" And of course, Krasinski was like, "Well, I've been going and visiting my wife. She's in this little independent movie called Mary Poppins."
Yeah.
You know, that they're filming over in London. And it's like, nah, that's kind of cool.
He's so funny in interviews. Like, have you seen him on, like, Ellen or anything?
Maybe.
He's so funny.
I've seen all the pranks that he does on Kimmel.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
those
he's
are
a
good.
Huge pranker. Which, yeah, shocking.
I think that's all I've got.
Well, I don't have too many either.
Did we take all yours?
No. Let's start with, well, maybe it's the only one I got. I really like this theory. There's a new theory out on the Jurassic World movie, Jurassic World 2.
Okay.
Where the new, Indoraptor,
yeah.
Basically the new dinosaur.
The new hybrid one?
Yes. There's a theory that they have mixed human DNA with it. And this is where we're going to get...
Why?
What?
Why?
Look at some of these things.
Why would you do that?
Well, these are going to be like maybe... Well, remember
one time
we were talking...
I just mean like them, why would they do that?
We were talking about how the Jurassic World franchise is going to go into like the Walking Dead, where it's going to be like the dinosaur is going to take over the world and pretty much kill everybody off.
Which would be cool.
Cool. If they go this route, this... Jurassic World starts kind of sliding into the horror. I mean, these things look very creepy. They're half human, half dinosaur looking things that are just going to run around and eat people. So I mean,
that'd
probably
be very zombie-ish.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen in Jurassic World 2, but they're flirting with the idea. Probably going to, if this theory is correct, I mean, that could be where Jurassic World 3 kind of ends up if these things take off.
And we know
off.
Who Spielberg got to do the third one.
No, who?
Trevorrow has been confirmed.
Oh, is he coming back?
Yeah.
He's back.
Okay.
He's got number three.
How did he do that? He got booted?
Because he knows Spielberg. Spielberg is who he wanted for...
Yeah.
It's who you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he lost episode 9, and so...
Spielberg must just give him the keys to the...
I read some stuff about why he lost episode 9. And I think a lot of it had to do with Luke Skywalker.
Really?
Yeah. He didn't want to direct a movie with Luke Skywalker dead. And I doubt Disney was going to let him do recast Leia too. I think that was another thing. He was wanting to do a movie with Leia because that's what they were originally going to do, but when Carrie Fisher passed away, they didn't want to recast her. Now fans are petitioning to recast.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I know.
Which I would be fine with that.
A recast?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I think you almost have to.
The character's bigger than the actor.
Is she?
Yes.
I mean, does her story arc make that big a difference that needs to happen in episode 9? I mean...
It needs to happen. I mean, that they need to go with what their original plan was.
I thought most of that had been thrown out the window. I'm not really happy with what they did with Luke, but I'm gonna take it.
Yeah, I'm there with you on that one. But still, I think somebody I was reading, I forget what article it was. It was brought up because they were talking about Rey's parentage, and it might have been with Daisy, and she said that Abrams had already somewhat scripted out 8 and 9.
Yeah,
and Rian Johnson threw out a lot of his 8, you know, when he rewrote that script.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, most of 9, at least idea-wise, probably was already mapped out. Maybe, I mean, even if it wasn't in haste, because, I mean, it seems like to me that kind of were surprised that 7 was so big and thought, oh my gosh, now we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he had ideas, so maybe, you know, all his ideas are, at least the ones that can be, are still there.
Right,
I think he could still change.
Yeah, I mean,
her
I mean, what Rian Johnson did isn't really set in stone. I mean,
a
lot of stuff that was suggested can be changed in episode 9. So
yeah, I still don't believe her parents are.
No,
nothing.
I don't either.
They left too many little trails along.
And if you watch some of the like the commentary and different things, which I haven't gotten to watch the documentary yet, and I want to, The Director and the Jedi. But Rian Johnson just basically wrote down all of the characters and tried to figure out what would be the hardest thing for that character to go through. And Rey's was that she came from nothing. So.
Could be. Okay. Well, let's keep the ball rolling. We're talking about Star Wars. So,
yeah.
Harrison Ford here. Indy 5. Did we talk about this?
No, not yet.
Before.
Wait, was Jason done?
I was done, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And really, this is about the only other thing. So, Stalker. Indy 5 is happening. They're going to be filming shortly. Rumor has it that this is Harrison Ford's last Indy. at this point, I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
Except I didn't like...
What?
Just what and, Steven Spielberg said.
So, we are open about having a female lead moving forward in the Indiana Jones movies. Because it's official, Mutt is not returning.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I know, we're all shocked and disappointed.
Poor Shia.
Can they kind of just ignore four?
Man, they could... If they could, like, strike that from the... Yeah.
Whew. I mean, still this day, I know we've talked about that ad nauseum on this podcast, but it's just one of the most... I walked out of that movie so disappointed. It was just unreal.
As far as difficulty goes, I would think it would be easy to make a good Indiana Jones movie. I don't know. I just think it would be easy. Just... Don't do certain things.
Yeah.
Have Harrison Ford with his whip kind of beat up Nazis. Yep. It's like, that's a win. Everybody wants to see
stick
that.
Stick a Nazi in it, give him something that they're chasing, something he has to find out.
Yeah.
And at the end, he wins.
Maybe Indy finds out Hitler's still alive.
Maybe there Indy finds out that Hitler
still
is
a
Red Skull.
Oh,
and then it connects it.
Can you imagine? Imagine Indy showing up
in a Marvel movie.
In Infinity War.
It's about like putting him in a sci-fi movie.
Still a better story than Crystal Skull.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, and Crystal Skull, if it would have been written, let's say they found some new screenwriter and that he wrote the script, I would have been all right with that because it's like, man, he really missed it. But when you got George Lucas, Spielberg, and Harrison Ford all three agreeing on a script.
And three other movies that are just so much fun.
Yeah. And they all, and it's like, wow, you guys all three agreed on this turd.
You thought this was a great idea.
Yeah. You know they were high-fiving each other over
sat around,
dinner.
Oh, my gosh. Look at this. And this is the part where...
Can we put Mutt climbing a vine?
Yeah.
And swinging from it? That's great. And all the monkeys joining because that's what monkeys do in the wild. They just...
And that's what... Well, we can't put Indy there. No, let's put his son there. Okay. Oh, gosh.
Oh, man. So, okay. Anyway, Indiana Jones 5. It's going to be a woman later on. They're going to kill Harrison Ford off. Maybe his heart will get ripped out. Again, I don't know. I wonder if they're gonna kill him off in the movie.
Maybe he just retires and actually does the
job.
Maybe he's gonna be the professor that he's supposed to be.
Maybe he goes out like
that'd be a good
him and his dad did in 3. You just see them riding off, and you know, maybe he just retires. He just goes, and somebody else takes off.
That would
in the
persona. I could see him doing that. Yeah, because he is a teacher.
He finally returns to the class. He left. I'll be back later. Do your homework.
Yeah.
Fades out.
40 years later.
Yeah, I could see that. That'd be good. All right. Weekend box office, people, because I'm done with that.
I think I just saw someone who would be a fun, I don't know about good, but a fun Ben Grimm.
Ben Grimm.
The Thing.
Yeah. Wait, let me guess. Is he short?
I don't know.
Is he black?
No.
Oh, okay, never mind.
John Cena.
Oh, really? Is he that good of an actor?
He's in a movie that's getting really good reviews right now.
See, to me, that comedy?
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know if he would be good, but I think he would be fun.
To me, that's almost like one of those characters that's kind of like Groot. Like, Vin Diesel's part of the Marvel Universe, but in all reality, what's he do?
I am Groot.
Yeah, he goes in and he throws his voice to a couple things, and he's done.
But what I love about him doing it, though, is he is so excited about these movies.
Who, Vin Diesel?
Yeah, like, he treats it like
Oh yeah,
he's doing major work.
He gets to be a part of that world.
He just has to put it. He just has to say one line a few times.
I mean, he probably does have the easiest. Yeah, he comes in and I'm like, Groot.
I guarantee he'll have a. He'll have a vlog here soon, or a Snapchat, or something, an Instagram, whatever that he does, where he did this with Guardians 1 and 2, when they showed him the movie, he went on, you know, live and
mm-hmm.
you know, chat about how awesome it is, and I mean,
he's
I guarantee
a fan.
He'll do it.
That's what's cool about him is he's a fan, and he's a nerd. He's a big time nerd.
He's coming up a little bit later. He's in the other thing we're gonna talk about. Yeah, and anybody that's going to be Ben Grimm, I'm assuming it's at this point it's going to be CGI, right? So whoever plays that character is just going to be in a blue suit, and so they're not really going to be on there either. It's going to be kind of like what's his name that was the robot on Rogue One,
Alan Tudyk.
Yeah,
You know, we all like him, and it's like he's part of the Star Wars universe now, mm-hmm. but technically he was never on screen, but he was.
I did like what they did with the makeup for the original Fantastic Four movies.
The latest one?
The thing. No, for not the
Michael,
latest one.
Michael Chiklis.
Michael Chiklis.
Oh.
Chicken. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Chiklis. Michael Chiklis.
The Shield.
All right. Very good. Oh, man. Weekend box office. Was this a little bit of a shock?
No.
Ready Player One? I thought the original, they were projecting like
30.
That's what it made, though, didn't
it? It did a little better than what they thought.
Weekend gross was 41, but if you include, because it came out on Wednesday, I guess, it's on 53 million for the entire weekend.
It beat the analysts, so I mean, at least on that mm-hmm. end.
Yeah. So,
but still, on a movie that they spent that much money on, although a foreign
worldwide
wise.
Worldwide didn't it make a bunch.
Worldwide,
it
was.
Yeah, like 180?
Yeah, yeah. I don't have that here.
So,
but
I mean, it's going to make its money back.
It was well up there. So Tyler Perry's
Acrimony
came in second. I didn't even know that was a thing, but like the Rev had mentioned earlier, I think off the air, Tyler Perry pretty much puts out a movie once or twice a month now, and it's hard to keep.
And they make money.
Yeah, they make money. People go see him. Black Panther slid to 3.
Oh.
So it's, yeah, poor thing.
I'm kind of getting tired of it already.
It's only made $651 million in 7 weeks.
You guys still haven't.
I haven't seen it twice. I probably won't at this point.
I'll
wait till it comes out in the summer.
Wait. There's just too much stuff coming out between now and then. I can only imagine. Is it 4th?
Dude, it's good, man.
Man, it's got a grand total of $55 million right now.
Which is awesome for a movie like that.
Yeah, budget of 7. My goodness. Pacific Rim Uprising, a little bit of a disappointment here. It's on its second week out. It's already slid back to 5th.
The drop was huge.
Very big drop, 66%, almost 67%. It's got $45 million in its 2 weeks. But
that's what happens when you come out right before a Steven Spielberg movie.
I don't know.
It's made some money foreign-wise, though. I think it's made a lot foreign, too. So, I mean, it's probably going to make its money back. But
I think the Asian market really liked those giant robots. That's not racist to say, I don't think. Sherlock Gnomes, it's a classic. That's at 6th.
It's one of those Y movies.
Yeah, it's a Y movie. And
they're making a third one.
Are they really?
Stop watching these movies.
I mean, they got what's his name is in Sherlock Gnomes? What's his name? Johnny Depp signed up. They must have gave him some sort of blank check.
He's Michael almost Caine in the Nicolas Cage.
He's
getting thing
the
now
beer,
because
yeah.
he's so behind on money from his divorces that he has to. I mean, really, I watched a special on what's that one channel?
E,
not E. There's another one now that has all they do is they have documentaries on movie stars like all day long. Is it like Real?
Real, yeah,
yeah, Real. Oh. And so they had on his last divorce and all his issues and how much money trouble. So he's although I think his he still he's not like Nick Cage in it where. It's in B movies all the time, but I mean, you'll probably see a lot of little roles here and there.
Well, I mean, he's in at least probably 2 more Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, as long as he doesn't get accused of any more stuff.
If they go to 5, he'll be. I mean, I think they'll save they'll save the final Dumbledore and Grindelwald battle till the 5th one if it goes that long.
Oh man, I hope it does.
I do.
I think Nick Cage is preparing a comeback.
I hope so.
Johnny Depp is He's gonna, turned a tank.
He's going to slide in there and take over his
Jack Sparrow. I love Nick Cage, man. I love him.
Can we put Nick Cage?
And he's going to get to finally play Superman.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The animated version.
Yeah. It's his dream. It's
not I watched a trailer for a movie that he's in today. Against, you know, I mean, you can tell it's an independent, you know, movie that might release in one theater. It's called The Humanity Bureau. But as I'm watching, I'm like,
I hate the Humanity Bureau.
I want to see another National Treasure movie.
It's another sci-fi movie. I'm like, please, can you just wait? I know you need money. Can you just wait until, like, you get National Treasure 3?
Hmm. I saw an article on National Treasure 3.
You did?
I'll see if I can find it.
Gosh.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Oh. Is he in it?
I would hope so.
He probably wrote it. I mean, he knows a lot about that National Treasure stuff.
There's still treasures to be found.
I was watching something, and they were giving Nicolas Cage some crap. It was funny.
Nah, he can take it.
Yeah.
Well, here, let me carry on then. Number 7, Tomb Raider, which Scalf saw that.
Yeah.
Supposedly highest rated video game movie.
That's good.
According to Rotten Tomato. And it's still rotten, but it's
I guess it's highest rated. Almost scene for scene from the video game, so.
Okay. Number 8, Wrinkle in Time. That one is kind of tanking.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's made $83 million here, but it's been out for 4 weeks. It's sliding fast. Love, Simon, 9. The Apostle Paul at 10. So
two faith-based movies in
there you go.
Top 10.
And actually, if you drop down to 12, then you've got the new God's Not Dead, Light of Darkness, there. That one I don't think is going to have the showing as those other two. Number 11, I got a complaint here. Isle of Dogs is at 11. They still have not did a wide release on Isle of Dogs.
Is that this week?
It still hasn't been released. I mean, it's coming soon,
I think.
Yeah, let's see. Isle of Dogs, it's in 165 theaters so far. Why are they not giving it a wide release?
They should, because I would go watch it.
I mean, it's still making money. It's only been out for 2 weeks. It's made $6 million.
This is saying April 13th it's going to go wide.
And I will be there to watch it.
The same day that Lost in Space is released on Netflix.
And the same day Rampage.
And Rampage, yeah. See, we got some stuff.
I'm going to throw this guess out there. I think Rampage for me, because I'm probably going to watch it. My daughter wants to watch it. It'll probably be the first really fun movie that I watch this year. I'm just guessing. It's going to be one of those movies where you don't care what happens.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It just happens, and it's like, oh, well, that was a lot of fun.
Yep. Kind of like Jumanji.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like, a blast.
Yeah. And you're right.
Out of nowhere.
After I did watch it the second time, it's like that's when Kevin Hart's character...
Oh, my gosh. He's so good.
You seem to spend... I don't know, in the theater, it was all about Jack Black and what he was doing as a teenage girl. But then the second viewing, it's like, oh, my God.
Kevin Hart, he's so good in it.
That new Jack Black movie looks good, too.
Yeah, it does. The house with the clock on its walls.
Yeah. It reminded me of, like, the Goosebumps and all that. Jack Black's making a market for these, like, these teenage...
Which is good. I love him.
Kids.
I love Jack Black.
Yeah, and they usually come out, like, in the fall, kind of right around Halloween. They're creepy. It's like...
And you think about one of his best movies is kind of in the younger age... genre. School of Rock has always been one of my faves.
That's a classic. That's got great reviews and ratings.
It's good.
Yeah, it is.
It's just a good movie.
Was that it for CFN? My goodness.
My gosh.
That might have been the longest CFN.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Then we're probably not going to... Let's just go straight into the other talk. Because, I was going to do a game, but I don't think we're going to now. So we wanted to talk about tonight. This is kind of like our main event, I guess. Everybody get ready to rumble, whatever that thing is Rick plays for us. with the success of Roseanne and Will and Grace, these old TV shows that they've brought back with pretty much the original cast, they've had pretty good success. We're going to just talk about tonight, like, some of the other ones that are coming back that they're getting rebooted. And maybe talk about ones that we'd like to see brought back. Some maybe of our fan favorites for us. Maybe some of them that really probably wouldn't work. I've got a few here that I'd love to see come back, but I don't think that they would last. But anyway, so just starting off, I mean, anybody seen Roseanne? I mean,
I've not seen it yet.
And I never really watched the original Roseanne. I knew what it was.
I watched the original one.
But this new one, it was funny. And you said you saw it, Stalker?
Yes.
It may stick around.
Tons. I mean, it's all renewed for season two.
Yeah.
I mean, tons of people watched it.
It's
what, 14 eight, million? I mean, or something, 18 or higher? Million. Well, that's
huge for in today's ratings. You know, Will and Grace, I guess, got picked up for another season. But I don't think it had nearly the impact that Roseanne did. So I got a list here of like several other kind of like older shows that are being redone. We'll talk about them as we go. Some of these we actually know of that are like getting ready to come out. Some of them maybe we don't know that much about. But the first one, Lost in Space, it's coming out on Netflix here shortly,
right? Oh, man.
2 weeks? What'd you say? Next weekend?
Next week.
Can't wait.
That looks incredible.
Yeah.
Hopefully
it is. I mean, it looks... Yeah.
Yeah. They spent some money on that. Or aesthetically, it looks really good. You guys know anything about the Jetsons live-action show?
I've heard about that for a long time, but I never... At one point, it was talked about as being a live-action movie.
Yeah.
But then that kind of fell off.
Yeah. Now NBC or ABC has like picked up the rights, and they're shooting it.
Yeah.
So it's like it's gonna be a thing.
If they kind of do it like a, at least have the effects or the production value as like a, what's a one Star Trek? Orville.
Orville. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that kind of quality, I could see it working.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's, I guess it's gonna be a comedy. Yeah, it's very intriguing. There's no names attached to it at this point, so I don't even know if. They're probably not even shooting it yet, but Scuff, I kind of put this one down for you, but they're redoing Muppet Babies.
That has already debuted.
What?
It's on now.
It's
already on the Disney Channel.
Yeah, and it looks. I was a fan of the original.
Oh,
yes,
I was too.
Yeah,
I
watched it.
They don't have Scooter or Skeeter.
Yeah, I knew that they were.
Really?
They put a penguin in. It's a penguin.
What in the world?
I can't remember the penguin's name.
Mama,
dada, I don't.
Boop, boop, shua,
That's
yes,
it.
Yes, it's.
The original was so good.
Yeah, I don't.
All of the pop culture references and everything. The Star Wars episode is my favorite.
You don't care for this new one? Okay.
No.
Probably we're not in that the audience that they're looking for.
Probably not.
No.
Middle-aged men, but
which we should be.
Still, though, I would like for it to.
Still, though, it was out.
Cool.
I mean, and popular when I was still watching those.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I was young.
It was a good cartoon.
I loved it.
Man, taught you how to use your imagination. I don't know if that's true. Miami Vice is a new one that they're bringing back. That's the one that's being produced by Vin Diesel. So NBC
Hasn't
picked that one up.
Hasn't it been back?
As a movie, it was a...
In 2006, I think it was.
Yeah.
It was a movie.
Colin Farrell and...
Yes,
Jamie
Farrell.
Foxx.
Yeah.
Which actually...
Fox? That was Fox.
Yeah. I watched that movie because I liked the director. That was a Michael Mann movie.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a bad movie.
I don't think I ever saw it.
But I loved the original TV show. That was a show that I watched all the time.
Yeah. Don Johnson.
Mm. Yeah.
Tubbs and Crockett.
If they did it right.
Well, hang on. We're not there yet.
I know.
But we're getting down there.
Write it down.
So NBC, that's on my own, guys. They're bringing back the Munsters.
Yes, I've read about that.
So,
I've got an article here on that.
That's going to be pretty... I don't know if they can do that today.
Not the way they want to do it, because they want to put them in Brooklyn.
Yes, they were going to put them in Brooklyn.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe. This one's kind of interesting. They're bringing back Murphy Brown with...
the originals?
Candace.
Well, Candace Bergman, is signed up to... like 13...
That probably worked then.
Most of the people from that cast, I think, have passed.
Painter that was redoing Murphy Brown's house.
Yeah.
He passed away of an overdose.
Yes. Yeah. He was kind of a big draw on that. But anyway, CBS ordered that. CBS has already ordered. They've also ordered. Both these shows have been gone exactly 30 years. They both left the I thought this was neat. They left the air in 1988. They're being brought back basically in 2018. Cagney and Lacey, Magnum PI. So they've ordered at least pilots for those to see how they would go. Tremors got picked up by Sci-Fi, so there's going to be a weekly.
Okay, I would watch that.
Yeah,
I think Kevin Bacon's involved in that too.
Is he producing it, or
I think
is he
producing?
Okay, so we won't. I'd love to see him out there.
Yeah.
And it has something to do with it's taking place like 30 years in the future from where the movies were at. So we'll see where that goes. You wouldn't. Scalf would be too young. But The Greatest American Hero.
Oh, I loved that original one. Loved it.
That's a go.
They're changing it, certain aspects of that show, though.
It's going to be a girl.
Yep.
I want to say, yeah, like maybe Hispanic or Asian.
I think
read the name. Yeah. And it wasn't, you know, so it's like, it sounds like they got a twist to it. Sounds like it's going to be interesting. Amazing Stories got picked up by Apple. That's not really a new thing, but
really,
those are old. You know,
Steven Spielberg produced.
Steven Spielberg, yeah, little short stories. And with the popularity,
Mark Hamill was in it.
Yes, Mark Hamill was in it. Man, there was a lot of people. Yeah. Clint Eastwood. They gave a name of all the people that they wanted to be in these Amazing Stories. I remember watching them.
Oh, I love those.
With the popularity of like Black Mirror now, where they can bring in like different directors like every week. I mean, this might work. And Apple picked it up, so I don't know if that's going to be like, what does that mean?
Well, they know they'll spend money on it.
Is that going to be exclusive to like Apple TV or something?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Apple will eventually have their own subscription.
Okay.
You know, like a, but just with original stuff. I mean, they'll eventually branch out to other stuff, but again, with their hordes of money, they'll try it for a little bit. If it didn't work, they didn't really lose anything. But
yeah, I mean, I'm interested. That'd be definitely one I'd like to see. And then and last here, this one's just in talks, but basically Helen Hunt and
Paul Reiser
have both.
I was worried
about
that one. Yes,
they if it can be done right, they are both on board and would love to bring.
That's
back
a good show.
Mad About You. So yeah, I watched it.
I watched it too.
And if they brought it back now, it'd basically just take place about 20 years later. Of course, they had a daughter. Now their daughter would basically be, they've raised her and already moved her out. So, I mean, they've already talked about storyline.
They're kind of empty nesters now.
Yes. And so this is them in their twilight years, kind of like how we, I mean, yeah.
And his career's on the, Paul's is, but, you know, after having been in Stranger Things, so he's kind of.
Yes.
He's kind of back in the.
I'd love to, yeah.
He's good.
I'd like to see him do it. So, okay, that brings us to this point. What shows do you think would you like to see be brought back, and do you think that they would work nowadays?
See, my problem with this is going to be some of my favorite shows were shows that didn't make it to begin with.
Maybe they'd make it now.
Like, one of my favorite shows, I don't know if you guys remember this show, but I can even sing you the jingle to it, but Misfits of Science was one of my favorite.
Yes.
Kind of like the first.
Yes.
Version of Heroes, you know, the show you know, all superpowers, Courtney Cox, you know, was in it.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I loved that. I don't think it lasted long. I didn't know if it lasted more than a season, but I watched it.
How'd the jingle go?
Misfits of Science, straight from the heart.
that is totally 80s right
there.
Oh
man, it was complete 80s, but I loved every single bit of it. Yeah, the guy who ran fast.
His shoes would always melt.
Some person that did electricity and...
I can't remember all of them.
The black guy that got big and small, I think. You have
Kevin Peter Hall. That was that's the Predator.
Yeah,
Kevin Peter Hall. He was in Misfits of Science.
Yes.
Wow.
I don't know if it'd work, but I mean, it was 80s goodness when I saw it. I mean, oh my gosh. I mean, did anybody else watch it?
I watched it.
I loved it.
I don't remember much about it, but I did watch it.
Loved it.
I mean, with all the superheroes nowadays, why wouldn't that work?
I mean, yeah. It could.
Heroes should have worked.
Yeah, Heroes should have worked. And it did for a
while.
They
messed that up.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, the writer's strike, just, I think, had
the
a lot to do with
that. The writer's strike killed it.
The first season was...
Yeah. But when they brought it
fantastic.
Back, it still wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Firefly.
Ooh, Firefly.
Yeah. It'll never come back, I don't think.
No, but it should never went away.
No.
Yeah. That would... Would that work? I mean, you got the new Star Trek that's doing well. I mean, I think that would work.
I think it would work, especially with better special effects these days.
Yeah.
Which, its special effects weren't bad.
No.
So
I don't like the movie. I mean, I thought the movie was good, too.
Yeah. Oh, Serenity, yeah.
I'd like to see 24 with Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was one of my favorite shows of all time.
One of my wife's absolute favorite shows.
24?
I've never seen a single episode.
Oh, man.
Dude,
it's so good.
It's a good show. It's unique, one of those too. That I watched after a little while. But again, as I've said on here, I got behind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can't get behind on that show.
No. And so I kind of just stopped. But of what I watched, I mean, it was a really good show.
I know so many people that absolutely love it. And
so good.
I know if I would just give it a shot, I would like it.
Kiefer's great in it. I mean, he is. Really good in it.
He's good in so much stuff.
Yeah, he is. Lost Boys.
This one would have to be done right, not like the movie.
Lost Boys.
Yeah.
Chips.
Okay.
I used to love that show. When mm-hmm.
Like the 70s Chips. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. I mean, because that was serious. That was like a cop drama.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Where the movie was like a comedy.
Right. It'd have to be done right, not like the movie.
So it'd be like
cop
one
drama.
Of those,
they can't wear short shorts in this one, though.
Oh, let's hope not.
Transfer over.
Yeah.
And make it gritty, maybe.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Gritty, kind of like one of those, man, they got so many different Chicago.
Thunder in Paradise with Hulk Hogan.
What in the world is that?
I remember that.
Yeah.
Great.
That was a weekly show?
He had the boat, yeah.
Really?
Thunder in Paradise?
Wrestlers made appearances on that.
Yeah.
Are you making that up?
No. Not at all. It was one of my favorite shows ever. Was it? 90s?
Thunder in Paradise ran from...
Oh, there it is.
So good.
It was in 94.
So cheesy, but so good.
They also made a movie, too, didn't they?
Yeah, there's a movie there.
Here's the intro's great.
This is the beginning of it?
Yeah.
Oh, what's this called?
Thunder in Paradise.
Oh, I remember this.
It really didn't last that long.
That's all you need is a shot of him running away from an explosion. I'm sorry, I'm a huge fan of Hulk Hogan. I mean, I was going to say, I grew up with him.
According to IMDb, it only ran for one season.
Oh, really?
94.
Yeah, that was a good year.
What's
this song? 5.6 out of 10. Yeah, I mean, it's possible. My goodness, what are you watching, Scale?
He's having flashbacks.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. He's got a patch on his eye.
Yeah, he does.
This is kind of like Baywatch, except with a big boat.
Kind of.
With a cool boat.
It's a cool boat, yeah. It's like a stealth boat.
Yeah. It's one of those big cigar boats. All right. I have a couple here that I would like to see come back.
Can I do two more?
Yeah, go ahead, do two more.
The Office.
Okay.
There's talks.
There is talks.
I don't see how they're going to do it.
Rainn Wilson says... If it's done right, he's interested. Oh, actually, John Krasinski said the same thing.
Yeah.
He said if it's done right,
really?
he would come back.
Okay, if those two alone were in it.
Steve Carell, totally out.
Yes.
I would imagine that.
He says that it doesn't make sense for his character to go back to Pennsylvania. He's right.
Yeah,
Why would he ever go back to Pennsylvania?
Well, I mean, if they got Rainn Wilson and John to come back, you don't. To me, although I love Steve Carell, but I agree it doesn't make sense. Put Dwight as actual regional manager.
Yeah.
And put Jim in where he has to be the assistant too.
I mean, it could work.
Yeah. And then
Jenna Fisher's on board. I know that.
Yeah. And then the Twilight Zone.
Yep.
Also in the works.
That's also one. That's so cool.
One that I know, one of my favorites, they're actually talking about rebooting it. I don't know about the person who's cast, but as Michael Knight, but Knight Rider is one that I'd love to see again. Tried again on the.
I like
the TV show.
The one they did back in 08. I kind of like that one.
I didn't get to see that one, but
no, me either.
I just love the show. I mean, I love it. Supposedly, John Cena is attached to.
Oh yeah.
Where he said that he's had. This one article I came across, I don't know if this was 2000. No, this is March 30th. He said that he has read a script for the new Knight Rider and says it's fantastic. But I don't know. That's one that, I mean,
I'd give that a shot.
Yeah. I loved it. I love the original.
So for me, I kind of look at comedies a lot. Since the comedies are what a lot of these are coming back are comedies, it's like, could you bring back like one of the all-time greats? And actually, this was voted like on currently right now, all shows that are on Netflix, this is supposed to be like number one, is Cheers.
Oh my gosh, I love so Cheers.
Good. Could you bring back, I mean, Ted Danson.
Ted Danson, you can.
Yeah.
And he's actually back in the limelight with the success of The Good Place. I don't know. Anybody watch The Good Place? Just me and you?
I've caught a few episodes.
Good Place is outstanding, and he is incredible in it. He does a great job.
Cheers was just so classic.
And it was simple.
Yeah, it was.
It was simple, but had great writing and
great characters.
What was it on for, like 11 seasons? It was something crazy.
So good.
82 to 93.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Which is long for a.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
For a comedy, but still, I mean, it was so good.
And it was a comedy that was like, and it bled some of its leading characters. Mm-hmm. You know, they had to get rid, or Shelley Long left for Kirstie Alley. Yep. Woody Harrelson came in, what, third season, fourth season or something?
Something like that.
And his character was fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, he was so good.
They weathered those storms. I don't know. I absolutely love Wonder Years. I don't know if you could redo that though.
I don't. Yeah.
I mean, that
be hard.
Well, you know what? If you could, there's two shows that I think kind of have. I mean, not. I don't know. I guess they kind of have the same soul as the Wonder Years from what I remember, but like. There's a couple of shows that my wife love. One is This Is Us. Another one is, what's the other one? Parenthood that came out.
Oh, yeah?
You know, I mean,
I've not seen any one of those.
Family Stories. I mean, and of course, these are just straight dramas, so the one of yours will be different. But yet, I mean, I think if it came out kind of in that way, a little bit more lighthearted version of those shows, I think you know, something like that could work, because those shows are huge.
Yeah.
Family dramas, you know.
I mean, that's kind of what that was. I mean, there's a show right now that, and I like it too, but The Goldbergs, which that's a straight comedy.
It's funny.
But it's about a boy in the 80s telling a story of him growing up. It's filled with all kinds of nostalgic stuff. His bedroom's covered in, I mean, Wonder Years was 70s, but, or 60s. 60s, 70s. Vietnam was going on.
It would be
late 60s?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I one of my favorite shows. Just don't know if they could pull it off. I also have the Drew Carey Show down here.
Drew Carey is still irrelevant.
He's more relevant now than he's been because of
The Price is
Right.
He was on an episode of NCIS.
Was he really?
Yes. He was accused of sending care packages laced with poison.
So
it was actually a good episode.
So, all right.
That show, I mean, was just good.
I think you could almost bring everybody back because, you know.
They're all really not doing much.
Yeah, Diedrich Bader's probably just, he's on that other show. But, I mean.
American Wife.
Yeah. He plays the husband on that. But, I mean, they could all come back and try it. Maybe it would work.
Do it for like a short run.
Yeah, they could pick it up for 13 episodes, see what happens. You know, the same thing with, I do have a, you know, the pinnacle of one here in a second, but Third Rock from the Sun, anybody ever used to watch that?
I love Third Rock.
John Lithgow.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes, back when he was a little wee kid. I thought that show was original.
It was.
It was kind of like a Mork and Mindy, but a whole family, you know.
It was funny.
And it was funny. I don't know. I don't know if you can bring that back or not. And for me, last but not least, is could they ever do Friends again? Could they ever get all six of those people to come back, because I honestly think it would be a huge hit. You know how big Friends is now that it hit Netflix? It's one of the most widely streamed shows for high school kids right now.
No, it's my kids watch it all the time.
Yeah, mine do too. They think it's both hilarious and it still holds up.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like you can binge like five episodes in a row, just boom, 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 boom.
And if you think about it, a lot of those actors really aren't doing much.
Not really.
Right now.
No.
David Schwimmer directs, I think, more than he does acts.
Yes.
I mean, Jennifer Aniston does stuff every now and then, but she's not like a...
The occasional movie.
Yeah. Matthew Perry does nothing.
He's just in rehab most of the time.
What's-His-Face has his own show now, but...
LeBlanc is doing the car show over in England.
And he has another one, too.
Yeah,
he's one on HBO. It's called Episodes, but that's over now, right? Is it a different one?
I don't know.
It's a sitcom.
Yeah,
And then what is Lisa
Kudrow? She was on something, but I think
what does Courtney Cox do?
She does nothing now.
Yeah,
Cougartown went off the air. I think that's just a no-brainer, but I just don't think you can get them all back.
If they can't come up with any other ideas, I think you'll probably see that one.
I mean,
at some point in time,
eventually. I mean,
they're doing another movie of Sex and the City. I mean, I know that. They're bringing that one back again.
The last one of those I thought was terrible. I mean, not that I ever saw any of them, but I thought that last one bombed. But all right, okay. You got anything else on you guys' mind? Anything else you'd rather see? Scott, what are you looking at? You've been really quiet.
Just looking at different TV shows over years.
Boy Meets World.
I'd like to see a revival of Night Court.
Oh, I love Night Court, man.
Night Court was so good.
Oh, my gosh.
And
yes,
you don't see
that was
anybody
so good.
On anything.
No. Man.
That is a great one. Bull.
Yeah.
John Larroquette was awesome in that show.
Yeah.
Airwolf.
Yeah.
Man. What sitcom was I watching the other day, and they brought... The guy wanted everybody from Night Court. It was... Okay, I think it was an episode of Community or something. So a more recent show, they brought back almost the entire people from Night Court.
Night Court was fantastic.
To relive like the last... Because the last episode, it didn't get finished. There's something strange with Night Court.
Yeah.
Like their season finale didn't go the way all the fans wanted to go. Anyway, sorry, this side note.
Yeah, that was one that I watched almost every episode of.
Yeah, that was...
Of course, they brought back MacGyver.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I never.
It's
still on, is it?
Yeah.
Is it decent?
It's pretty good.
I've not watched it, so I really can't.
Yeah.
Can't say.
I mean, no doubt we're gonna see a lot of them come. Probably most of them are not gonna be good, but some of them might be. So, I don't know. I'm not against it.
I want to see a Mario Brothers TV show. Reboot that.
Like from the video game?
Yeah.
The Mario Brothers Super Show.
There wasn't... So that was an existing TV show at one time?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Captain Lou Albano.
I actually have it.
It's on Netflix.
On DVD.
Really?
Yeah.
The TV show, not the movie.
Yes.
It was a live action...
Live action TV show?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that.
They did like live action at the beginning, and then they turned into cartoons.
Is it like Kid Video?
Oh, Kid Video. Dang it.
What about the A-Team? We can't get into this.
There was talks.
Yes.
But they're not pursuing that one.
Now that was
the A-Team. Dun, 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 dun.
I'd like to see him do another movie.
MASH?
Oh, man.
That'd be... I don't think you could do it on the Vietnam War.
No.
Maybe you could do MASH on...
Terrorism?
Terrorism doesn't just... I guess. Most of the people that love MASH, I think...
Gosh, now Jason has me... Or the stalker has me thinking about 18 now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there we go. We can be done with this.
Now, I'll just throw one... If we're going to... I'll just mention one cartoon, because I know we can't start getting into...
Cartoons.
Cartoons, but since I brought up... Kid Video.
Got so many cartoons I would love to see come back.
Now, I know they released a special episode of this at San Diego Comic-Con a couple years ago. I ended up buying it on iTunes, and I've watched it 3 or 4 times. But they did a new, brand new episode of the classic He-Man.
The classic?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's brand new, but it looks and feels exactly like the original. And let me tell you what, it was hilarious. Because that cartoon is hilarious. I mean, it was just action packed, you know, when I was little. But I mean, it was so good. I'm like, man, I could watch this. Put it on, you know, Adult Swim, or I mean, or I don't know, but do something with it. Make it like a limited run of it, but make it look just like it did.
That'd be cool.
Oh, it's so good. If you haven't seen it, I forget what it's called, but you can buy the episode that they did exclusively for San Diego Comic-Con. That's really good. It's like He-Man the Night Terrors or something like that. So good.
Man. All right.
Moving on.
Very good.
We can't go into cartoons.
Yeah, so let's run into randomness then. We'll skip we'll skip jokes, no jokes this week in in memory
they're only good
of,
when
of Rick.
The trash man's here to laugh. We all don't laugh.
No. We just laugh at him.
But we laugh at with him.
At him. Yeah.
For him.
Oh, Rick. I tried to get him to call in tonight, but he was gonna be too busy
he's
swimming in a pool
dad.
Or something. Yeah, it's like he's actually got a life outside of us. Randomness. Anybody got any randomness?
I'll start off. Mine's short because one, they don't include. I mean, the only way I can finish reading the article is if I subscribe. I'm not gonna do that.
No.
But just a couple of paragraphs. The title alone will show you how awesome this is. Astronauts could 3D print tools from their own poop. Okay.
Oh, man.
It starts off as waste not, want not. A new method for turning feces into plastic could come in handy for people living on Mars. Interplanetary travelers face two big challenges: how to transport all the tools and equipment they need from Earth, and what to do with all their waste. Well, Maya Arcelano Panlilio.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At the University of Calgary, and her colleagues wondered if they could find a simple solution to both. They genetically engineered some coli bacteria to convert human feces to a type of
plastic.
Wow.
Hmm. Bam. Solved.
That is actually oddly brilliant.
Yeah. 3D print tools from your own poo. So,
I can see it now or hear it now. Hey, hand me that 3/18.
Oh, is it solid? Ratchet. Yeah. Okay. I need a new wrench.
goodness. That's great. Yeah. I hadn't read that.
Is it watery? That is. Never mind.
Oh.
Speaking of poo, I found
oh, yeah.
Another
just,
rant.
There we go. Let's
just
keep the poo
keep
going.
Yep. NBCNews.com. Some visitors to the Detroit Zoo will soon be able to add animal droppings to their souvenir list.
What?
Saw that.
Three buckets of 5 pounds of animal manure, dubbed Detroit Zoo Poo, will be handed out on April 14th as a part of the zoo's Green Fest celebration.
Wow.
Buckets will be available to the first 1,000 visitors.
That's a lot of poo.
That is a lot of poo.
Did you see the video of the grandma that got hit with a gorilla poo in her face? Oh.
Like the grill through it?
Yeah.
No, I'd watch that if everybody just,
Yeah.
So what, you got to carry around this bucket of poo with you all day while you're at the zoo?
All day at the zoo.
And then haul it away?
Maybe throw it at the monkeys.
And it's a treasure?
There we go.
Yeah. It's like something you want to go home with?
Yeah.
Yeah. It says it's great for putting in your garden.
Well.
I'm going to Detroit.
You want some, do you get to pick what kind of poo you get? Is it like?
Yeah, because I heard that monkey poo is especially good for potatoes.
Potato.
Monkey potato. Hey,
potatoes. Stick them in a stew. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew. Boil them, mash them, boil them, mash them, boil them, mash them.
Scalp, do you have any poo randomness?
I don't have any poo randomness.
Oh, man.
You're getting.
Man, the poo's flushed.
Gosh.
But I am going back to space with Stevie's.
Okay.
Well, okay. Tied in together.
This comes from space.com. Used SpaceX rocket launches 10 Iridium satellites into orbit. So SpaceX made two launches this past week.
Yeah.
A used SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket launched 10 new communication satellites into orbit from California's Vandenberg Air Force Base on March 30th in a morning liftoff that also marked an anniversary for reusable rockets. The Falcon 9 rocket, which first flew in October 2017, launched the fifth set of Iridium Next satellites for Iridium Communications. exactly 1 year to the day after SpaceX's first used Falcon 9 rocket launched and landed. Since then, SpaceX has commonly landed...
You lost it.
...and reused them on later flights. In fact, the booster that launched the Iridium 5 mission on the 30th also launched 10 other Iridium Next satellites on October 9th.
That's crazy.
So October 9th to October 30th was the same rocket. And last December, Iridium became the first SpaceX customer to launch a mission on a rocket it used before, when the Iridium 4 mission launched with the same booster SpaceX used to launch 10 other satellites on its Iridium 2 flight in June 2017. SpaceX materials engineer Michael Hammersley said today, "This is our fifth launch for the Iridium constellation using only three rockets." So that's pretty cool. Then SpaceX cargo. SpaceX sent a cargo capsule up to the space station with tons of supplies on, I believe it was the 4th. Yeah, April 4th. So, two launches in a few days.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yay for them.
They're planning on, they did 15 launches last year, and they're wanting to double that this year. So,
double it?
Yeah.
30? All right.
And there's a Falcon Heavy launch in June, I believe. So
you may need to drive down there to see it.
I know.
All right. Mine's not about space or poo, but
crap.
Yeah, exactly. So just let this one sink in. See if you guys can see where this is going, and maybe where this would work in other places. NBA testing 99-cent streams that let you watch the final quarter of a live game.
That doesn't even make sense.
Let me finish. So there are huge packages right now, and we're just talking about NBA, but this could go for any type of sporting event. You can do college basketball. You can do NFL. They've got season passes. So people that are big-time fans, they usually fork out the big amount of money to get specific subscriptions for specific teams. You can like, for us being Hoosiers, you know, we can be like, we're going to buy a package where we see all Indiana Pacer games. You can buy the package where you get to see all NBA games. They are thinking small with this, and it actually has already happened a few times, but they are looking to make it kind of like wide. If you are a fan of a specific team, especially you get around to the playoffs or when games are actually important, you know your team's going into the fourth quarter. It's close. Maybe it is even a playoff game. You'll be able to sign in, give a quick 99-cent fee, and you will have live coverage of the fourth quarter of whatever basketball game you choose. And fourth quarters, let's face it, fourth quarters can go 20 minutes sometimes if it's a close game. So you're looking at, for less than a dollar, you're getting 20 minutes of content. Or you can just wait and catch ESPN in about 5 minutes after the game's over. They're looking at like how this is going to go move forward, and you're going to be able to like purchase the entire game if you want, like a little bit later. Are you going to be able to purchase like maybe a week at a time? You know, how's this going to like go into other sporting events, not just basketball? I don't know, Scott, if you're not a huge fan, I can already see that. One thing that's interesting in this, the NBA is willing to do it, even though they realize that making something like this widely available is going to cut into their league pass profits. So they're kind of like they're gambling with making something that's going to take money away from another one of their venues to try to bring other people on board. Because obviously people like me, I'm not going to order any type of league pass. Those things are expensive. But I might buy a fourth quarter game here or there if – you know, if the San Antonio Spurs are tied with the Pacers going into the, you know, I don't know. There's scenarios I could see this working.
Yeah.
Not to mention, there's a lot of stuff. Like, I'm a huge Supercross fan, and I don't always get to see Supercross. You know, if there was a way that I could, for 99 cents, see the main event of a Supercross race somewhere, I would do that. So, I don't know. This is where technology's going. Because who wants to watch an entire game of anything? Anyway, there's my randomness.
Wow.
Is that it? All four of us?
It's random.
We haven't done random in like weeks.
No, we haven't.
No, we haven't.
So
I missed the randomness.
Yeah. So we are good to go into the... Right? Seeable Truth.
Seeable Truth.
Seeable Truth.
Definitely missed that, Ricky.
Yep. Way to go, Rick.
All right, just a little bit of something here.
Yeah.
I think this is a relatively important topic in today's day and age of social media and Facebook and what people post and how we communicate, yada, yada. So, and I'll get into why I think it's important, but let me just throw out a couple questions here to get us rolling. What is slander? I know to drop a big question right front here, and everybody just turns
making
off the
fun
podcast.
Of someone.
Okay, making fun of
slander
fun of someone.
Is
okay.
More inaccuracies towards somebody.
Yeah,
like untruths.
Okay, yeah,
maybe.
What's gossip?
Ooh, that is basically
talking about someone.
Yeah.
Or something.
But it could be true, though. Okay. I mean, gossip would be like heavy, so-and-so's marriage is on the rocks or something. Okay. So, I mean, that's different than slander,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Technically.
Yeah. What, I mean, I know most people are going to say, well, those are wrong, but why? Why are those things that, you know, we try to stay away from or, you know, why do they cause so many issues? What's hurtful about them?
Oh, gosh.
Well, I think
so many of the
majority of people don't like to be talked about.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, slander, because it's untrue, so you're basically spreading lies that can... It's detrimental to somebody's character.
Yeah.
You hate to contribute to that. Gossip, just same thing. I mean, things get spread and...
Yeah.
It may be true coming from the first person, but by the time it gets to the seventh person, it's totally not true.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, we see these things in a lot of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the time. I mean, it doesn't.
Yep.
And from everybody. I mean, I'm not pointing out any different. From everybody.
Yeah.
From those who are unbelievers to those who are.
Yep.
I mean, you can go on Facebook one day and see the myriad of different ways. I bring this up because I've been doing a study on this, it's super challenging me. In fact, I had a conversation with somebody today. They were trying to get me into talking about something, and I brought up what I learned here because I'm like, you know what? I can't help you with that because I'm like, you know, I'm being challenged, and so the thought here is, you know, slander and gossip. We have a pretty good general idea of what that is, but what if Jesus and the things in the Bible spoke of these things in a way that's way more than what we thought that they are? Okay. So let me throw...
There's one thing I'm thinking of.
Okay. Let me throw out some of the things, okay, because this is very cool, very challenging, but very... Very cool when you study it, okay? For thousands of years. So lately I've been looking at what Jesus says and historically, you know, try to say, okay, what in his context? So, you know, in the first century as a Jewish man, what do others around him think about that? Was it a topic of discussion? What was there a certain thought on it? You know, was there something that he would have been taught as a young boy in synagogue, you know, in the temple by his rabbis, right? Because, I mean, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a very Jewish man. So for thousands of years, Jewish teachers have focused on the promise contained in Psalm 34, 12 through 13, right? And this is what this psalm says. It says, whoever of you loses life and desires... No, sorry. Whoever of you loves life, sorry. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, so that's the promise. This is what they say. They say, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. So, you know, if you were back in that day and, you know, they're going to talk about the power of the tongue, mm-hmm. they would talk about this thing called the evil tongue. Mm-hmm. And they would have a certain word for it. Okay? And this word became a whole teaching on it that would have been taught then. So you like, you know, when you see Jesus talk about slander or, you know, all these things, he would have had this stuff in mind. And there's others too, like this idea, this verse, specifically in Psalm 34, Peter, you know, when the apostle and disciple Jesus was writing 1 Peter 3:10, guess what verse he pointed to talk about that, okay? Psalm, and we, you know, hear about how evil the tongue is in James, right? Mm-hmm. How it's, as a Christian, as a believer, we have to be very careful on what we say, because it's like a fire that will burn, you know, stuff down, right? I mean, so it's taught over and over. Well, so there's this thought, and I know this is not a great term. You know, people are going to, well, I'm shutting this podcast off, but I think it's a very relevant thing. But so there's this idea of the evil tongue. So what is an evil tongue? Okay, what? So when Jesus talked about it, when Peter, what did they have in mind? Well, there is a Hebrew phrase for that that handles all kinds, that handles slander, that handles malicious speech, that handles gossip, okay? Whole big teaching on it. And I'm going to say this Jewish phrase. It's called Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara. So today it's still being taught. You can go into Israel, and there are workshops, there are classes in high school that teach you how to tame your tongue.
Wow.
Because it's so big, it's so huge in that culture. So it would have been huge for Jesus, because this dates back.
Right.
Okay, so, but here it is. It's more than just what we say. So when I was studying this, I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, because a couple of these just hit me in the face, thinking, oh my gosh, I have to be so careful. So there's four of these, I think, and I'm just going to barely hit them, because again, man, they're huge. But so if you're going to take this whole thing of Lashon Hara, which is the evil tongue, and say, okay, what really does that mean? Well, there's a fourth thing here. One is called to put out a bad name. And so this has to do with our word slander. The Hebrew is Motzah Shamara. You can see Jesus talk about it. Actually, that people will do it to Christians in Luke 6. But basically, to put out a bad name means to make up lies about others, mm-hmm. in order to defame them. So they did this try to do it with Jesus. You know, people do it with Christianity all the time, right? So, but it was taught as a form of the evil tongue. Okay, so this is slander. So, you know, that one, I think we get the idea, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's make up a lie about somebody in order to cause them ruin or to harm them. Okay, so we can relate to that one, so I'll move on to that one. Okay, now there is specifically the evil tongue. I know this is so uplifting, but this is I find this study really, really cool. So this phrase is used to describe the practice of telling negative truths about others that are unnecessary or damaging. So it's called Lashon Hara, an evil tongue. So phrase used to describe practice of telling negative truths about others that are unnecessary. Okay, here's an example. Recounting to your coworkers about how the boss messed up a presentation. That's Lashon Hara.
Really? Wow.
So if you are in Jesus' culture, or even now, and they're walking you through this, you know, you should not, I mean, and they refer to this as sin. You know, this is not something that a believer, you know, a follower of God, you know, and should be doing, you know, as a Jew. You know, you don't do this. Here's another example. Remarking to someone about how bad the worship leader sings or how bad somebody plays. That's Lashon Hara. So that's considered evil tongue. Okay? Yeah. And that's just
scratching.
That's just taking off an onion layer, you know. Yeah. So again, but bigger than what we think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So basically, it's this idea of why do we do this? And it's like we elevate ourselves by tearing others down. Okay, that's so behind it is selfishness, you know. So that's one. And there's another form of this. They even believed that you could do this without speaking a word. Okay, here's an example. You look at somebody with a smirk, or you roll your eyes in disgust, or you raise your eyebrow, you know, in disdain of something that somebody said. Lashon Hara. They call this Avak Lashon Hara, which is the dust of Lashon Hara.
That's an interesting...
Yeah. So it's not just your words, yeah.
It's everything around it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's something as passing an unflattering photograph in order to embarrass someone is Lashon Hara, is the dust of that. So, I mean, again, we're really peeling this back. There's another one. Okay, this is called whitening the face. Okay, this is called Elbatna Panim. Okay, I know these are Hebrew words, but everybody should learn these because these are good. This is simply, and I don't have a lot of notes on this one because I think we get this one, but again, this is considered evil tongue.
What's it called again?
Whitening the face. Simply humiliating somebody in public. Mm. So why is it called whitening the face? When you humiliate somebody in public, what reaction do they have?
Well, they just, their face gets white.
Yeah, so I mean, that's back in the day.
Yeah.
If you humiliate, even if it's funny, to Jews, so in Jesus' time, they would have said, that's called whitening the face, and you do not do it. It's evil. Hmm. Okay, so again, we're adding more stuff on it. So here's this last one. And again, this is called stealing knowledge. Okay, this is called genevat de'at. And this is the idea of fooling someone into having a mistaken assumption, belief, or impression, even if no lying is involved.
Say that again.
Okay. The idea of fooling someone into having a mistaken assumption, belief, or impression, even though no lying is involved. Okay, here's some examples. A store increases its prices temporarily so that it can advertise huge markdowns.
There you go.
Okay, that's stealing knowledge.
Huh.
Inviting a person to a party when you know they cannot attend to begin with. Mm-hmm. That's stealing knowledge.
That's interesting.
Huh.
Okay, here's another example. And this is one that I saw in a book. So say there's it's kind of like a parable, but a woman goes to dinner with her cousin. Rich cousin has a lot of money. They go to a nice restaurant. They order whatever they want. It's totally on him, and, you know, they don't, you know, pay attention to pricing. He gets the bill. And he looks at the bill, and it's even higher than what he thought. So he's, you know, oh, my gosh, that's huge. Well, the lady, seeing his reaction, says, you know, I can help you out with that if you want. When, you know, she's just being nice. Well, he actually takes her up on it. You know, him being rich and him having wealth. He's like, okay, so he takes some of her money. Well, she leaves angry because she thought this was supposed to be a dinner that he was paying for. How in the world could he take his money?
Could he take her money?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. This was brought to a rabbi. The story, you know, tell us, you know, who's in the wrong here? He said, the woman is. And then, why? He's like, because she offered to do something she had no intention of ever doing.
Mm-hmm.
So she cannot be mad when he takes her up on it.
Yeah.
Because it's false motivation. Same thing as when a store raises price and says, we have huge markdowns. Well, really, it's a false, you know, it's causing somebody to have a false, it's stealing knowledge from them. It's this, these things might never include any actual falsehood. But all these things still others' goodwill, understanding, or deliberately create a false impression of yourself. So that woman was creating a false impression of herself. I am giving. I will help out. But when she had no intention to.
Yeah.
Lashon Hara. So these are all, and these things have been around for hundreds of years. So, you know when you see teachings on it, and Jesus even has, I think I have a, there's some of this where he specifically will use a phrasing that goes along with this idea. Like he uses a phrase, and it's in Greek a little bit different, but it's like to put out a bad name. He actually uses that phrase. It's different in our translation, but when you actually study language, that's what he says.
Hmm.
So he's using these things when he's talking about slander and gossip and, you know, we have to tame our tongue. He's actually saying, okay, these things, you know, we have to try our best to not be a part of if you call yourself a believer. So it's actually deeper.
Yeah.
And bigger than what even what we think. And I say that because we're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. Again, I just admitted earlier, I had to stop myself today from getting in on that with somebody. You know, in fact, I had to, and I even brought something else out. There's another idea that goes along with this about judging people. You know, you see, you know, Jews in Jesus' time, which Jesus was one. Again, I'm bringing this out because Jesus believed these things, often taught them, and used Hebrew words and phrases that fit these things, called tipping the scales in someone's favor. So, like, somebody does something to you, right? Instead of you getting all mad, you show them favor. So you know, you tip the scales in their favor. You say, okay, I'm gonna give you the benefit of the doubt here. You know, you hurt me, blah, 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 but maybe you had a bad day. It's kind of like putting yourself in somebody else's shoes. Right. There's an actual term for that. Jesus actually teaches on that. You know, and certain words, saying, you know, instead of, you know, somebody did something to you and you're hurt, instead of judging them because you have no idea how their day went, tip the scales in their favor, right? Mm-hmm. So somebody, you know, came up to me today and was trying to, hey, what do you think about what so-and-so did, and blah, 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 blah. And so I'm like, did I want to get into a conversation? Yes, I did, because I have certain opinions about certain things. I'm like, okay, wait. I'm like, number one, I cannot judge them because I've not been in their shoes. You know, I'm not in their situation. I can't tell you how it's going to happen. I can tell you if it was right and wrong, but I'm like, in this instance, you know, I don't, I mean, I it's just different. Okay, I can't be a part of that. I want, you know, I mean, and it's tempting.
Yeah, it is.
It's tempting to jump in those things. I mean, it's tempting to watch, you know, as a musician, to watch other musicians to say, man, they're greater. Man, that guy's not that good. Or to see a funny picture of somebody. And this happens all the time in my family. Both sides of my family, we'll get, you know, a picture of somebody and we'll laugh at it. Ha ha ha, that's so funny. Well, and again, you know, I'm not saying you can't have fun with people. But what I'm saying is, when it's specifically meant to cause humiliation, according to this belief, it's part of slander. It's part of gossip. It's part of stuff that we shouldn't be doing. I don't know. I throw it out there. Just, I'm surprised. Well, I'm not surprised anymore, but the things that we allow ourselves to say on social media, one, that we'd never say to somebody's face.
Right.
Two, because it's easy to say, and we can just say it and get off of it and not pay attention to it. But yet, sometimes we should stop. And I'm not saying anybody I hear this table, because I don't think a lot of us are big Facebook people, but just in general, as human beings, that we should probably stop, you know, sometimes say, maybe I shouldn't do that. You know, maybe I shouldn't air out my dirty laundry. Maybe I shouldn't humiliate somebody. I have a family member that loves to, you know, to do that. And, you know, it's tempting for us to all get, and for me to get involved in. Again, I'm confessing my own weaknesses. I want to jump in. Oh, yeah. I'm like, you know what? I can't do that.
Yeah.
Can't do it. I don't know. I was just studying it, and I remember going through it one day, and I'm sitting there, you know, I'm reading this book about it, and I'm studying, and I'm just shaking my head, and I'm like, babe, you know, I'm talking to my wife. I'm like, babe, I'm like, we are so far from this.
What book is it?
In our culture. I can't tell you, because I just want to be the only one reading it.
Oh, okay.
Then we all read it. I can't share this stuff. No, it's a book written by Lois Ferberg. She has a few different books. One is called Sitting at the Feet of Rabbi Jesus. One is called Walking in the Dust of Rabbi Jesus. And she has, you know, just about, you know, this one is specifically about the Jewish words of Jesus. Why he used, what he used, you know, the phrases. But, I mean, it's good. Every chapter so far, I'm like, oh, my gosh. So far away from it. And we're never going to be perfect at it. So, you know, don't, if you're listening to this thinking, oh, I'm horrible. No, we're all horrible. We're all in the same boat. We're all trying. But again, if you can, if some of the things can get in your brain a little bit to help you, at least, you know, give you a second thought of, okay, maybe I shouldn't do that, then, you know, this is helpful. But again, a little bit deeper than what we, you know, sometimes think. Which, I don't know, what's your thoughts on that as we wrap it up here?
That's deep.
Very interesting.
I mean, that's a daily struggle for so many people. I mean, heck, I think we've even
done it here.
Which we do a pretty good job of trying to stay away from political stuff and or drag anything, people through mud. But, yeah, that's, my goodness. Yeah. And as parents, more, three of us here are parents. I mean, you know, do as I say and do as I do type of thing. It's like we need to be lead by example more than most people.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you're in a leadership role, you know, people do look at you, you know, differently. You'll get their scalp.
Yeah.
That's good, though.
Yeah, it was. Is that it?
That's it.
Well, I'd like to give a thank you to Mr. Johnson here.
Yes, the stalker.
Thank you, sir.
Jason's here, welcome. The stalker. So thank you for showing up. My goodness. And
I'm sure he'll pop up again.
Yes, we
never know.
At different places down the line here as we move forward this year.
Well, we've done the show a few times with just three people, and it's like sometimes it's hard for us to find a fourth, but for some odd reason I always forget about you being stalker. Willing. I mean, because this isn't ideal time. It's now 11:30 at night. But anyway, we thought this was going to be a quick show. So
had a lot of news.
That's usually how it goes. Sometimes we're done in 60 minutes. Sometimes it's longer. All right.
Check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/nerdoutcast. Check out our website, www.thenerdoutcast.com. Send us an email, nerdoutcast4. That's the number 4, nerdoutcast4@gmail.com. And we would love to hear from you. Send us a voicemail, 812-297-8801.
Keep
talking. I got nothing.